Yon Enti, Yon Enti.
ESPN 97.5, KFNC, Mont Bellevue, Houston. Brought to you by Zadok Jewelers.
All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5.
Come on!
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, let's do this thing. Let's pick up the pieces and go forward in a good-ass mood. I'm here, Nick's here, and that's what you're going to get today and tomorrow as we roll through the weekend and then reshuffle the deck. But you know what? No time like the present to pick up some spirit, have some fun, kick some conversation around. Nicholas, what's going on?
What's up, Joel? How you doing, bud?
I'm all right, man. Yesterday was obviously more than emotional.
Absolutely.
I got out and ran about four and a half miles after the show, and Lisa was like, I don't know how you do that after you guys were all... She goes, if I even shed a tear, I'm done. I go, no, just opposite for me. Got to clear my head. And I guess you and I had talked going into that show and were really unsure of how everything was going to go. And you know what? I was pretty proud of the way it all turned out. I couldn't have been happier in the results in terms of the suspects were as we always knew they were. They were just phenomenal in terms of just the outpouring of support and the amount of comments and all those other things. But I think more than that, that I think we did it the right way from start to finish. And I just feel like, you know, some people are saying, oh, you guys shed a tear or you cried a little bit. Guess what, man? I don't care, because that was just the raw emotion of, and I tweeted, I'd been kind of holding off on tweets because you just got to get your emotions in check and figure out exactly the best, you know, most concise way to put things. And then it was just like the show kind of opened it up and shed light on so much that I was able to just put a few out there that kind of just summed up, like, man, the last 3 years we had our ups and downs, but from a professional standpoint, going from all the crap I dealt with the Rockets, to just having the three of us build this thing and get it to the point we got it, I thought it all went is exactly how I would have wished it had gone.
Yeah, I mean, it was a farewell show for Barry Laminek, our guy, our man, and yep. Obviously was there with us from day one, so we're definitely going to miss him. Kind of a sad show, and we tried to make it positive and happy and fun as much as we could, and I think that's what we'll do on this show. We'll try to make it as fun and positive as possible. It's only 2/3 of the suspects, but we'll have to move on. And I'm pretty sure Barry is still down right now, but I think he has mixed emotions and he appreciated the farewell at the minimum. So, you know, new time, new era. We have to move forward, and that's just the nature. Normally, we would say that's just the nature of our business, right?
Right.
But now,
right.
Now with the pandemic, it's just a completely unprecedented and unfortunate situation.
No doubt, no doubt. So we're going to do a lot of good stuff today. We're going to cover a lot of ground. Obviously, not a ton of sports going on, but as you know, we'll get the stories in the NFL schedule, as Charlie was mentioning, comes out tonight. I've already got some people that have given me some intel on the Packer game and at the Texans, going to be a Thursday night football game, I believe, in week 3. I don't know if they'll play that game, but we can cover some of that. There is a lot of sports stories to cover. And, of course, because we like every now and then to just kind of surprise you with a guest or two that is very relevant to the people of Houston, Texas. And none other than Shane Battier, that man with the bloody head in the Lakers series that was so beloved here in Houston, that was a part of so many good Rockets teams, including the 22-game winning streak team, is going to join us. He's now a member
Sweet.
Of the Miami Heat front office, but he's going to join us in the 3 o'clock hour and catch up. And I want to get some comments from him, his thoughts on a lot of different things, including kind of the running question we've been asking everybody we've had on the show, which is in the hypothetical Bulls Rockets 94-95 era, as a just an innocent bystander that's a basketball player? Who's going to win that series? Because, you know, the more that we get guests, and Mikhail started it off, but Bill Weddington obviously was going to have the Bulls side of things. But I'm interested to hear what Shane has to say. Going forward, I've got feelers out to get some Hall of Famers and some big-name broadcasters from in that era to kind of chime in, because I just want people that are going to be honest about that. Because, you know, it is such the ongoing question we'll never have an answer for. And you were here, Nick, during that time, as was I. I just, obviously, we have biases on the other side, but I'm interested what other people have to say.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Because you're going to get a bunch of perspectives, you know. And I think, you know, like, obviously, there's some people that are not around to kind of give their perspective. But I think they did a decent job, you know, with the documentary. And, you know, I saw a report somewhere out there on Twitter that the director was kind of surprised that Michael Jordan was able to approve, or, you know, was willing to approve some of the content that they published on that documentary. So yeah, anytime you can get a different player's perspective, because the reality is there's so many players in that locker room and in that league that there might be, you know, something that happened that perhaps only Shane Battier has seen, you know what I mean? Or something Shane Battier and maybe a two or three other players on that particular team may have seen. So anytime you can get somebody's perspective, especially someone like Shane, because he was regarded as an asset when he was a Rocket. So,
oh my God, defensive stopper, just a guy that, and again, people don't realize the transition was a little different for him because he was a star in college. He was player of the year. Everybody was, you know, talking about Shane Battier. Then the draft day trade, after he had been in the league a few years, as Jeff Van Gundy got him for the rights to Rudy Gay. And it really changed the culture of the Rockets in a lot of ways, because you added a true professional and a guy that really was a hard worker at his craft at all times, both on and off the floor, that became beloved by this fan base. So it'll be good to catch up with him. And we'll get some perspective from him. And we'll get into at some point, too, a little bit of what you were talking about with The Last Dance, the fact that the director came out and was surprised that Michael approved all that he approved. But I'm glad that he did. Also, one of the players you were talking about that was in that locker room during that time that has been blackballed, in his opinion, by the NBA, was never even asked to take part in any interviews for The Last Dance. We'll give us some perspective on some of the things we've already seen in The Last Dance that we'll talk about. So those are good things as well. So we've got lots to cover from a sports front, and of course lots of other things to talk about as well. So you know, I'm looking forward to it. Just kind of a detox day or two where we can just kind of unwind and catch up with our peeps. And again, the suspects, you guys have been fantastic. And so, you know, just, you know, go along like you will and join in all show long, and we'd love to have you.
Yeah, 713-780-3776. I'll try to do a better job about getting as many calls, although I don't expect as many because, as you know, it was Barry's farewell show. But, yeah, I mean, I'll be screening your calls. Hit us up on Twitter. Hit the text line.
You fell asleep on me last night, too, by the way.
I did. I slept. I feel like I'm starting to get a bedtime. Like, I can't just sleep at 2 o'clock in the morning like I always do anymore. It just doesn't work. Even if I want to, it doesn't work. I'm getting there.
What does that mean? That you're becoming an adult and you're actually going to bed at a reasonable time?
My body's forcing me to go to sleep. I don't know about becoming an adult part. That might still be delayed.
Pretty much expected that from you. But no. Yeah, I mean, at least, you know, for starters, at least you could check certain things off of your checklist. And one of them would be getting to bed at a decent hour. That would be probably a good way to start. Probably, you know, eating. Your portion control is good, but probably the whole, you know, eating, you know, healthy would probably, besides your green shake, might get you going. And then that workout portion of it might want to slide
probably
in.
Probably necessary, yeah. So I can get that the extra 5 or 10% fat that I have in my left arm that I don't have in my right arm.
You got to go back to Apollo Men's Health.
I do. I know you already made the trip back.
I made the trip back. So, you know, because the first time, as we talked about, I gave blood. You did not.
Nope.
So you and that needle had a little bit of an issue. But they came back, and then they do a second test because they want to make sure that it's accurate. So I did that last weekend, and I'm going back in Saturday for more results. But those guys are just fantastic. I mean, the fact that they just are so welcoming, and you make it so easy on you where you're just relaxed. And then, like you said, the test that you and I both did do, where you just stand on this scale, which has all this different technology attached to it. And when you get done, it just breaks down everything from your fat content to the weight of your body, to all these different things that you need to kind of get your health and wellness in order. It's pretty awesome stuff.
Yeah, without a doubt. And just the technology in that place is just unbelievable. They're super clean, super sterile about everything. The people are really knowledgeable and know what they're doing. It's almost a fun experience because they're just sitting there talking to everybody over there, and they're really cool about just letting you be yourself and learning about you and your specific needs. So, yeah, check it out. I've been there once. I should be back already, but I haven't. But I know
lots of memorabilia, sports memorabilia all over on the walls and stuff for you to check out there as well. And David is a sports fan. He's a rabid sports radio listener, so he'll chop it up with you on any kind of sports talk as well. The owner and the main doctor there, such a great dude that you and I both talked with. You know, when we talked to him, he was preparing to go to New York to help COVID-19 patients. He's still there, Nick.
Oh, he never came back.
No, he's been working the whole time. They do video chats and Zooms, and he catches up with the employees. But, yeah, he's still working. You know, so shout out to him.
Yeah.
Because you know, now you know what kind of place Apollo Men's Health is, because that's his spot. And yet he is dedicating all of his time to help the people going through COVID-19. So,
but truthfully, I only met him once, but he seemed like a guy that would do that. So I'm actually kind of not surprised, despite not knowing him that well. He seems like a guy that would do that. So shout out to O for sure.
Yeah, no doubt about it. By the way, first text of the day is not good. I mean, first tweet. John Weisbrow tweets me and says, Joel, Barry said you're now the lawn pro, and I was wondering what I need to do to fix a part of my lawn that keeps growing weeds. That's false, John. That's false. That's Barry Laminack being Barry Laminack, and that is not true. So you will have to tweet Barry Laminack, which I'm going to tag him on so that I can tell him to kiss my ass. How about that? So we got Shane on the show today. It is a Thursday, and basically we've got plenty to do on the show. But, of course, if you want to join us, we have plenty of room for you as well. We've got a lot of different updates going on, from when baseball might return to what basketball is doing to the NFL, not only the schedule tonight, but they're looking at what they can do to try and get everything moving in terms of opening up off-season workouts and programs. So, again, join us if you will. 713-780-3776. That's the HR&P listener line. You call that number, you text that number, you reach us. And, of course, at Twitter, where it's at the producer Nick, at Pac-Man Joel with a K. We are Joel and Nick, or Nick and Dick. And this is The Usual Suspects, or two more days, the ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
Back and just get it going on The Suspects. Yeah, that's what we're calling it, because it's still two-thirds of us, and we're going to get through the rest of the week. So someone had texted, that's blasphemy that we did that. No, it's really not. It's almost a tribute and to pay homage that as long as Nick and I are doing it in the same slot until we get the schedule and everything juggled around next week, we might as well. And it's not anything other than homage to the three of us, because, you know, why not? So not trying to offend anybody.
It's just two more days, and then that will be the absolute end of The Suspects, so it's not that big a deal.
The Nick and Dick open wasn't ready in time, so we're going with The Suspects for two more days.
Exactly.
How about that?
Sorry, it was a quick turnaround time that we requested, so.
Yeah. Anything that you want to get to pressing right off the top? Because there's plenty to get to today. I don't know if there's something that strikes a fancy with you, or if you were a little bummed out you weren't partying with Earl Thomas in Austin.
I saw that, man. That is crazy.
I mean, the more details that come out in this whole story, and I know I heard John and Lance talking about it this morning. I heard AJ on with John talking about it a little bit this morning. Just nuts. You know, I don't know what goes through someone's mind when, you know, you have all this money at your disposal, and I guess you get bored. But if you missed it, Earl Thomas, formerly of the Legion of Boom from with the Seahawks and also from the University of Texas, now with the Ravens, lives in Austin, and he and his brother caught in a, I believe it was an Airbnb or a rental property.
Yeah, it was an Airbnb, a rental home, an Airbnb. It was a home that he and his brother rented. Yeah, so, yeah, I mean, he was, she was her, his wife, Nina, was able to track his location through Snapchat.
Yep.
And then got the aid of two other women to be able to confront him at the Airbnb home, and it got it evolved into a bad, almost violent and police ending situation.
You think? I mean, she was arrested now. The ESPN has now gotten a hold of it, and she has been arrested. And the responses from Earl Thomas are pretty pathetic. But the gist of it is, he and his brother found on the bed frolicking with multiple women. His wife, as Nick said, tracks them, comes in with her two friends, has his gun with the safety off, pointed a foot from his head, and threatening him. She said she took the magazine out. She also was not aware there was still one bullet in the chamber, so thankfully she didn't get too crazy. He wrestles the gun away from her. She then, when police arrive, she is chasing him with a knife.
The police come and they like they draw guns on him, and they both get on the floor right away, and it basically ends at that point. But the fact that she pulled out a knife and a gun, she was obviously a bit emotional.
But wouldn't, I mean, look, I mean, we're not women, but and no matter what, wouldn't you be?
Oh yeah, without a doubt. I'm not saying it wasn't justified. I'm just saying that it was. I mean, it was. I'm not going to say excessive. She was probably, I mean, not every woman handles that situation, I would imagine, a bit differently. Not every woman's going to pull a knife out and a gun if they catch you cheating. So, and that's not a knock on her, you know, but obviously it escalated. She felt some type of way about him. Otherwise, she wouldn't have been so upset, you know?
Well, and there's so many variables into it. But at the same time, I'm looking at it from both sides. And I'm also looking at it from, like, from the Earl Thomas perspective. And look, having dealt with athletes a lot in my career, I know that, you know, there's a lot of guys that feel like there's a lot of different ways that they got to get out and get after it and do what they got to do. But I guess, you know, I just look at it and go, do I really? First of all, I don't think I ever see myself as someone that wants to be in a situation where I would be with my brother, let or my friends or anybody else. I don't want to be in an encounter like that with another dude.
Yeah. Well, you know, the life of an athlete, you know, I mean, obviously they don't have the life of an athlete, I guess, like as they would normally do because of the pandemic. But honestly, you know, the NFL season, you know, hasn't really started yet. So, you know,
they were lacking contact. The season hadn't started yet and they needed
that's my point. Like, obviously he was probably, he might have been in a situation where he was spending too much time with his wife, you know?
He wanted to do the Oklahoma drill and didn't want to feel alone, so he brought his brother in and a few chicks. And here's the other thing, Nick, you mentioned it's during the pandemic. We're trying to be as hygienic as possible in all areas of our life, and yet here they are, and if you're the Airbnb person too, I'm pretty sure you're not expecting, like, all kinds of bodily fluids and everything to be just everywhere in the middle of, like, whatever you're doing to rent out your place.
Are you, are you not, though? Are you? I mean, unless you didn't know that Earl Thomas was a Baltimore Raven and he was an NFL player, I mean, you don't think that an NFL player getting an Airbnb during a pandemic, during the off season, is not looking to have some fun? I mean, an Airbnb, if you're a person that has an Airbnb that you rent out, like a property that you rent out, you're going to run into that situation with the average Joe.
Okay, Nick, I'll give you the flip side. If you're Earl Thomas, if I'm the renter and Earl Thomas is coming to me, I don't know if he still lives in town. I don't know if he's got a place in Seattle or Baltimore, and I don't know if he makes Austin his full-time residence either. So I'm just thinking maybe he's in town because he played at UT and he's doing a camp or something like that, and he needs a place to crash. So I'm good with it. Yeah, maybe something might happen. I get it. But a full-blown orgy with his brother and all – man, I think –
I mean, the orgy probably would have went smoothly if if his wife didn't find out, if his Snapchat location wasn't on, right? I don't think there would have been.
Maybe then he shouldn't have put it on Snapchat. This just in.
I don't know if he put anything on Snapchat. I think it's just location was on, and I think that's why she was able to. That Snapchat is the devil.
Yeah, I'd stay. I don't know anything about it, but I'd stay away from that if I'm an athlete, especially ones that like to get out and get after what they got to do.
But that's where all the Instagram girls are. Why would they want to stay away from Snapchat? That's where all the influencers and the models are. They're not just on the gram. They're on Snapchat, and they want to be a part of that.
You guys got me hip to the gram. I'm good enough there. And there's plenty of content there, I might add, that I don't know that I don't think I have any need for the chat, the Snapchat. But from the female's perspective, too, like I said, I mean, I don't care what you're motivated by, but can it not wait till this pandemic is over?
No, because she wanted to bust him in the act. She wanted to confront him and let him know.
No, not the wife. I'm talking about the chicks partaking. You got multiple chicks that aren't worried about staying safe and healthy during this time of pandemic?
I guess. XO Holly says on Twitter, perks of dating an athlete. Not the first time, I'm sure. Probably agree with that sentiment.
Holly, don't you have your toes to do or something like that?
Well, she's not doing that just yet. Didn't she say there was a day she was going to do them, or was she just being facetious?
Well, she was doing one for Barry, I think. She was going to do the white nails again. But, I mean, come on. Look, I know that a lot of these, shall we say, groupies, a lot of times there's not a whole lot of thinking going on for some of the other things that might maybe should be pertinent in their mind. But I just think all the different details of this, I think, are very bizarre. I don't think anybody was thinking through, obviously. And I think that, look, if I'm being honest and being real, the wife did exactly what she was supposed to do. I got no problem with what she did.
Yeah, with her coming out, just confronting her. Yeah, I mean,
yeah.
It's not like it's a girlfriend. It's a wife. It's a wife. So, I mean, he, you know, obviously she feels some type of way. And we don't know what type of relationship they have. Maybe this was like a high school sweetheart situation where she was with him before he was even famous or even an athlete. I don't know what to say. I didn't read too much into it, but I know.
Well, but here's the other problem, too, because then, you know, if you're Earl Thomas, look, I mean, you got to just kind of own it. And you got to be like, you know what? My bad. I was doing some things wrong. But instead, I mean, you know, if you read some of the comments that he had, he was basically like, it's not anybody's business. It pisses me off that it got out, but it's the world we live in today. But instead of talking about us, just keep us in y'all's prayers. Stuff like this happens. Does it?
Yeah, that's what
they
he said.
They have three children.
Yeah, that's what he said on his Instagram posts. I saw that. I mean, he had to, I guess he had to get it clear out. I don't know why. I don't even know if that post was necessary. It was not like it was a situation where TMZ was going to let his wife know that he was cheating. She had already known. She was the one that found out and did all the dirty work. Usually when an athlete posts something like that, it's because, you know, it was like a Kevin Hart situation. Maybe not to the extent of extortion, because Kevin Hart was basically saying, you know, they were threatening to tell his wife if he didn't keep things shut and, you know, if he didn't paying up. So
I just, you know, and the whole thing is too, when you look at it, it's like, okay, well, people were worried about, well, maybe there was a prenup and maybe she, you know, she's not going to get anything if they get divorced. First of all, you got three kids with Earl Thomas. You're going to have plenty. And that shouldn't be the motivation. The motivation is you caught him red-handed cheating, and so of course you're going to be ticked off. But, you know, Earl Thomas, that's boy, he's going to catch some heat in the locker room too.
I mean, I would.
There's
going to
be a lot of guys that are going to give him grief on that one.
For sure.
So, if you missed it, there it is. That's one of the big sports stories of the day. Lots of other things to get to. So, we're going to get to that. And if there's something on your mind you want to get off your chest, well, join us, won't you? 713-780-3776. That's our HRNP listener line. Call, text, hit us on Twitter. We are Nick and Dick. This is ESPN 97.5.
Hello! To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. This
is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
Back on The Suspects, Nick and I at least. Our boy PayPal Pete asking if what I said at the end of the last segment, it's Nick and Dick. We can call it the Nick and Dick Show if you'd like. Sure. I've been called worse.
Why not? But, you know, 48 hours.
Call us. You just don't call us late for dinner until we get through until Monday. So we're just rolling through. And by the way, Barry normally looks at all the texts. I'm trying to fill in doing that. I'm not going to look at them much if the first 15 texts are any indication of how they're going to go today, because y'all are just being stupid and idiotic and mean.
I literally signed in and didn't look at it, so I didn't even – I totally forgot about it, to be honest with you. But
yeah, just do better, people. Do better. All right, so we got the story about Earl Thomas out there. There's other stuff to get in sports, but you got something on your mind you want to get
out
there.
Yeah, did you see – this goes back to 2017, but Oscar De La Hoya once said in 2017 that he would knock out Conor McGregor in a boxing match. And then he says it again – on CBS Sports, that he would still knock out Conor McGregor in two rounds. And I just saw Conor, you know, tweet out, "I accept the challenge." And it amazes me that this guy who's retired, 47 years of age, mind you, how much he's able to benefit off of his name. I'm not trying to hate on him, but I just feel like he has some questionable decisions, right?
And yeah.
I don't know why he would say that. I don't know. He doesn't necessarily need to stay relevant just because of his name alone. But I just don't understand why he says stuff like that as a promoter. You know, and as you know, I criticized him a lot when he put on that fight between Chuck Liddell and Tito Ortiz that he had no business promoting. And he just makes some questionable decisions. I mean, what makes him think that at 47 years old that he's going to knock out Conor McGregor at 31? Like, it's just
asinine. And some guys, I mean, I guess their ego just won't let them, you know, be rational and smart. But it's just, and I will say this, Nick, and I don't know if you saw this. I hope you did, because it actually kind of blew my mind too. But you talk about a guy that is 53 years old that I would give a fighter's chance, a puncher's chance of winning a boxing match right now, and that's Mike Tyson. Did you see his sparring session last week?
Yeah. He could get in. He's one of those guys that – I'm not going to compare him to Barkley because they're obviously two different people, but I feel like he was one of the guys, at least back in the day, that could get into shape quickly, kind of like how Barkley did in the offseason,
The ferocity – and the violence in every one of those punches was just, it was frightening. I mean, understandably, the dude's got a lot going on in his dome piece, and we've talked about the fact that even during these autograph sessions and anything like that, he's a big fan of the weed to kind of just calm things down. But he obviously still has a lot of the skills he had when he was on top of his game boxing. Now he's getting a massive, I'll tell you what, Nick, don't be surprised if he takes them up on this, but there's a bare knuckle boxing championship that has made Tyson a guaranteed $20 million offer to fight for them, with an option to choose his opponent from someone currently signed to his promotion, as the story was told. Mike Tyson's never short on collecting money, especially, like I said, he does the autograph circuit and does the autograph shows and everything like that. I don't think there's any reason to doubt that Mike Tyson would take 20 mil to do a bare knuckle. And if I was fighting him, and I don't care if I'm in the top of my bare knuckle game, I don't want to face that dude.
Yeah, and I think it's a different dynamic. It's totally different with Mike Tyson. He's a heavyweight, dude. So it's a guy coming back from his prime at that age, at that, you know, that weight class, I think it's slightly different. I mean, you saw it with George Foreman, right? You know, but like with the smaller guys like Conor and Oscar, like a lot of that you're depending on speed and technique. And I just don't think you can get away with that at 47. Now,
Oscar can't, for sure.
Right. That's my point. I think.
Right.
Now, the Bare Knuckles organization, the Bare Knuckle Fighting Championship, I'm so impressed with, because I remember when it first came out, I'm thinking this promotion is just going to die. It's just going to go defunct. But no. And the fact that they even have the ends.
Where are they getting that money, though, Nick? Even if they're not going under and they're making a steady profit. I don't know how they're coming up with 20 mil to guarantee it for Tyson.
Apparently the guy that's running it, David Feldman.
Yeah.
Or at least he was the founder. He does real well with managing it. I think when they founded it in 2018, I think they had a different goal for the promotion, but I think it's evolved since then. And they've been in business ever since. It's not like one of these promotions that, you know, went up and went down pretty quickly. So it's impressive. It's impressive that they can attach a name like Mike Tyson, because you know he's going to demand some money. I didn't think he could get 20 million. That's impressive.
That's what I'm saying. So Feldman's quote was, while we did make a guaranteed offer of 20 mil for Mike to fight for BKFC, we're open to many different options as how we can work together. Obviously, the excitement of seeing Mike's video showing himself training and desire to participate in exhibitions inspired us to reach out and make an offer. And guess what? It's a smart thing, because evidently he or somebody else has marketing in their background and they realize this could be their home run. Because as you were talking about, whether they were kind of on shaky ground at one point or another, the fact that you add something like this to the front and center main event portion of whatever you're trying to do, people are going to be all over it. They're going to want to see it. If they're not there in the building, wherever they hold it, they're going to do pay-per-view. They're going to be, and you know what? He'll probably make his money back. So good for them in trying to do something like that. And I'd be interested to see it, because you think about the fury he goes out and does what he does in this sparring session with gloves on. Can you imagine taking one of those shots without gloves on, just bare-knuckled from Mike Tyson?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, even a shot with 14-ounce gloves, and I don't think he was using 14-ounce gloves, would absolutely – I mean, we always talk about how unforgiving UFC and MMA gloves are, because those are only 4 ounces, right? I mean, when Brock Lesnar was fighting, they had to give him, like, a special size glove because his hand was so big. So to go bare knuckle, to me, is absolutely insane. I feel like Mike Tyson would be one guy that has that toughness to do that, but they've had a bunch of guys in that promotion already. I mean, former UFC fighters – former MMA fighters have already fought in the bare knuckles way past the retirement, mind you. I didn't think it was a promotion that was going to be very possible, but I think when society and like the world kind of accepted the goriness and the blood that comes with the UFC and the MMA, maybe that's what helped bare knuckle, you know, that's what helps bare knuckle, you know, exist. But
well, and if you're analyzing all this to try and figure out the details and how Mike would do, boxing matches, 36 minutes in traditional boxing. The entire start-to-finish bare-knuckle match is 10 minutes. So it's not like he's got to get in this incredible shape. And again, when you think of the effectiveness, it doesn't matter. You're not fighting for a heavyweight championship bout. So the fact is, all he's got to do is land one of those. And you mentioned George Foreman and some of those other guys. Look, half of the reason why Foreman was able to fight so long, so late in his career at a much older age, is because he was just a massive human being. And he could take a lot of blows, but if he caught you with one of his, you were in big trouble because he packed a hell of a punch.
Yeah,
Tyson's just going to bring it to you. And, I mean, he's short, he's compact, he stays tight. And then all it's going to take is one uppercut or one quick shot and lights out.
I mean, to your point, because Lenny Jobin tweeted us, did you guys even watch McGregor box? If De La Hoya is in any kind of shape, he would beat McGregor easy. I don't care how old he is. I get what you're saying, and I would imagine he's still, even at 47, he probably has sharper technique in terms of boxing. But my issue is when he takes that punch to the body. Conor doesn't necessarily have to win with one punch or one knockout punch. How is his body going to respond to injury or to an impact to his ribs or to his head? You just can't take it the same. It gets worse. Now, it's a little bit more forgiving when you're a heavyweight, like a Foreman or a Mike Tyson. But when you're as small as Oscar De La Hoya, I just think it's more of a struggle. It'd be interesting. My dumb ass would pay for it, Lenny. I'll tell you that.
I probably would, too. And here's the other thing. First of all, you're lying. You're going to do it illegally. But here's the thing. But think about this for a quick second. No one gave Conor a chance against Floyd. And Conor proved he could fight, right? He held his own. So that's one thing. But De La Hoya, that was his whole career. I mean, that's his whole life. That's all he's ever done. The one thing I will say, at 47, and I don't think he's trained in quite some time, no matter if he goes jogging or lifts weights or whatever he does. I mean, but I'm not going to crap on Connor. I mean, I think Connor, obviously younger, still at the peak of his game, as you mentioned, athletically. I'm not going to sleep on him.
No, but I mean, he's going to be able to close the gap, too. He's been boxing a lot. He knows that if he picks the right name in boxing, he can have a big payday. That's what Connor's trying to do.
Sure.
You know, I mean, he does say he wants to be back and defend his title and all that, and he's doing that, and I give him credit for it, but he knows where the money is. He can call out some random name at this point in the boxing world who could even be past his prime, make a lot of money, and people would actually pay to see it. And so I see what he's doing there. And Oscar De La Hoya is one of the biggest names in the game, in the boxing game. I mean, he's just not going to go away as a promoter because he was just so big, as you know, from what he did as a boxer during his career. So I don't know. I mean, I would see it, Lenny, but I don't know that you can just get away with not, you know, dealing with the speed of a 31-year-old at 47. I'm very
right.
concerned about that.
I agree with you there. And here's the thing. So they said if Tyson was to choose from the current BKFC roster, two names immediately come to mind as possibilities. Former heavyweight champion Shannon Briggs is 48 years old, but he's a hulk of a human being. He signed and even called Tyson out. He likes to talk. He's a very large individual. He was a successful boxer. That might be a good draw. And then the other one that they mentioned was former UFC contender and Olympian Hector Lombard, 42 years old, Cuban powerhouse, has already found the victory circle with BKFC. He's 5'9", closer to the height of Tyson, and that might be a good match. So if anybody kind of follows up on it and it has a chance to go through, we'll let you know.
There you go.
Pretty crazy stuff. All right, half hour in. Still got 2.5 to go. Plenty more to go on the show. Shane Battier coming up in the 3 o'clock hour as well. So we appreciate you hanging with us. 713-780-3776. That's our HRP listener line. Call that number, text that number, or hit us up on Twitter. Back with more ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
Back to wrap up hour number one, 3-hour show, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Yeah, we're calling it that for the rest of the week. It's Nick and myself. Dynamic duo flying you through till your weekend, bouncing around a lot of different topics. We're going to have Shane Battier in the 3 o'clock hour, but yes. Some Rockets news popped up. There was a story out that we had touched on earlier in the week where with the NBA trying to get back to some sense of normalcy, finish out the regular season and or start the playoffs, that there was a large bit of concern about coaches and general managers kind of up there in age that would be more vulnerable during the pandemic. And Mike D'Antoni has come out and said he has no reservations about being on the sidelines if they do indeed pick up the season, despite his age increasing the risk to get the virus or severe illness or death. He told ESPN as he turns 69 tomorrow and is the second oldest head coach behind Greg Popovich, who's 71, that he doesn't have any concerns because he doesn't believe that Adam Silver and the league would do anything to put anybody in jeopardy. And if it's not going to be a safe environment, he doesn't think that it will happen.
Yeah, the thing about that is that you don't know, you know, Adam Silver can't control all the variables around this league and the pandemic that surrounds it. I mean, he can't necessarily, I mean, I know he's endorsing the commish here, but there's only so much he can do. He's obviously working hard at this. I'm not saying he's doing nothing, but you can't control people and when they carry stuff and when they're asymptomatic. I'd be interested to see if they have any numbers in terms of the percentage of people who are asymptomatic. You just don't know. You got to remember these athletes. You know, I don't want anybody to get unhealthy. Knock on wood, they're healthy people because they're always in the gym. They're always working out. Even if they don't necessarily eat the best food, they're always you know, they're always making their body work. So naturally, they're healthier than the average person. You know, a lot of these basketball athletes that tested positive, like Gobert and everybody else, they were able to get over these symptoms relatively easily. And so it's just too hard for Adam Silver to control. And I didn't even know that Mike D'Antoni was the second oldest coach in the NBA.
Yeah, I mean, he carries it well, and I didn't know his exact age.
He's 69, but, and he's the second oldest coach behind.
His birthday's tomorrow.
Great. Yeah.
But here's my thing, Nick. I mean, I think that the fine line becomes what we're seeing with a lot of the different leagues and a lot of the different discussions, and even with our government and the commander-in-chief. There's a fine line right now between financial gains and getting the economy back or getting financial means necessary for leagues and being realistic and rational about the health and wellness of the participants and society in general. Because when you think about it, and we've talked about this before, and I'm pretty up to speed on a lot of this if I believe the sources and the things that I've read, the NBA and the network deals – all are, how should I say this? They are all based on the fact that a certain amount of games have to be played. They are not to those level of games yet. So Adam Silver very much realizes whether that's separate and it has to be a certain amount of regular season games or not, that I don't know the exact language. But in order to get to that many games, you're going to have to get back and play. And he realizes how important it is to get that major chunk of cash for each individual team, for the league itself, for its livelihood, all these different things going forward. So it's a tough, fine line to tiptoe because you want to keep your players, coaches, and personnel safe. You also don't want to lose the opportunity to get that money that your league desperately needs. And I think sometimes in certain cases that people are thinking with the wrong set of values in mind instead of trying to keep everybody as healthy as possible.
I mean, there's no question a lot of these business decisions, whether it's in sports or not, is going to come out of a little bit of a desperate nature that they possess within them right now. Let's be real. I mean, not all of these decisions are even logical. That's why a lot of people disagree about the shutdown being lifted. And I think that's the reason why people are still concerned. But, I mean, I just think, what else are you going to do at this point? I don't know if the NBA is at that level of, you know, I don't know if they're that desperate, but I do know they're eager to get everything going so they can resume all the advertising funds that they were able to get through TV and all the shoe deals and everything else. So everybody wants to get back, but everybody's hesitant, I feel like.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, but that's where I'm saying, you know, haste makes waste, but it also is very scary in this case because people are going to be in such a rush to get back that they're not taking every single possibility under consideration. When we keep seeing all the different, you know, numbers and the spikes and the things that we're seeing and all the different people that know that we don't have the vaccine yet. They're starting to get to the second clinical phases with the FDA of trying to get medication that will at least control it to some degree if you do get it. But I just think it's still too risky. And we've seen the death toll rise every single day. And you don't need another, like, tens of thousands of people dead just because you rushed out and did a bunch of stuff too quickly. So I get it. You want the economy back. People want their normal life back. But, let's do it in phases. Let's follow what the experts are telling us so that we don't take, you know, one step forward and then take three steps back and have a lot more death to deal with.
Yeah, I mean, look, everybody is making a move, I feel like, a little bit because they're just slightly desperate or they're very desperate. And then these leagues are going to start looking at each other. I mean, the MLB, I saw there's one by your boy Passan and another report by Heyman that there's a return to play proposal that's going to be talked about pretty soon here about getting the MLB back, probably in mid-June or even July. Heyman doesn't necessarily seem to believe so. But look, when the NBA or in the NFL or Adam Silver – or these coaches like Mike D'Antoni see the MLB, you know, and they're literally telling their players, hey, get ready, we're looking for spring training come June. So if one league is doing that, I feel like there's just kind of a, it doesn't necessarily mean every league is going to copy each other, but it's certainly an influence at the very minimum. So the pressure, I think, is growing. I think the desperate nature among these leagues are growing, and they're trying to get back things and get things back in order, regardless if the coronavirus is still there or not, still here or not.
And I think, like, in terms of baby steps, I think one of the baby steps is let them start working out at the facility again, and then let's see how that goes, because there's going to be contact and interaction, whether it be in small numbers or not. That'll give you a kind of a beginning gauge. And then gradually try to take it to the next step until you're to the point where maybe at a certain point coaches are working the players out, and then they will evolve into five-on-fives at some point, and then figure out where you're at. Same thing with baseball. Same thing with football. Football is even more difficult because there's contact on every play. So I think that you have to, like I said, you have to manage the difference between the public's expectations of what they want and the desire to get sports back, and the importance of doing it the right way so that you don't slip up, step back, and put a lot more people in jeopardy. So we'll see what happens. Like you mentioned, and we can get to it at some point too, baseball and football have already started trying to put together plans to try and figure out when they can get back. Baseball, in that case, is going to be attempting to actually get back to playing games by the first week of July. Football, from the standpoint of opening up their facilities again, letting players work out, and getting players ready for training camp. So we'll see how it's all going to go. But like I said, it's just a little bit concerning to me how quickly the leagues want to move without taking everything into consideration.
Yeah, I mean, I would hope that they are, but I don't know if, you know, I mean, I would hope that they are taking everything into consideration. I just don't know if a part of this decision is made because they're kind of forced into it more than anything else. But it'll be interesting to see. I mean, I want sports back just as bad as anybody else. So,
No, I'm totally with you. But, you know, like I said, do it the right way and be smart about all of it. So that's a little basketball at the end of the first hour. Again, we'll have basketball in the third hour because Shane Battier is going to join us. That's going to be a fun conversation. In the meantime and in between time, we've got plenty of areas for you guys to join the show. We'll get into a little bit of some of the sidebars from The Last Dance, not only the two episodes coming up, but some of the episodes that have already passed and some people that have some pretty big commentary on that. We'll touch on some of those things as we get hour number two started. Hang in there. We're coming back with much more right here, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by.